All right, come on. Do you want to snap along with that one? Thanks, Jim. Our theme for this month here at the church has been the God who gives second chances. We've been listening to second chance stories, and did last week. We'll continue to do so for a few more weeks. We heard from Lori last week. The ministry you're going to hear from this morning, Teen Challenge, is one of the best second chance ministry story opportunities you will ever hear. Because we believe that God does give us the chance to change through Christ. But when he changes us, he gives us fresh starts in each and every area of our life. And Teen Challenge does that well. They've been doing it well. They will continue to do that well. So if you've never heard of them, from them before, you will this morning. If you've heard of them before, be reminded again that wherever you are in your life today, God is willing to give you a fresh start with Christ. So my pleasure to introduce Gavin and the Teen Challenge guys. Come on up and lead us and continue to help us in our worship and our appreciation of God this morning. Come on up, guys.
My name is Zach Brewster. I'm 32 years old. I can remember being as young as 8 years old and just feeling like I didn't measure up, that I didn't have the things that I wanted as far as personality or physical stature. At the age of 12 years old, I finally got that opportunity to fit in. Some older kids offered me marijuana and alcohol and cigarettes, and I did them, and it was the first time that I really felt like I got praise for something that I did, and I really felt like I fit in. At the age of 20, I ran into an old friend and I took my first hit of crack. Within a month of that, I was shooting cocaine. Within a month of that, I was a full-blown heroin addict. And for my entire 20s, I spent in and out of lockup, detoxing all the time, in and out of my family's life, and nothing ever really seemed like it was going to get better. And eventually, I just found myself not wanting to live anymore. In 2013, I was using again. I had picked up another habit. I had been kicked out of my house. I was homeless in Manchester, and I finally, gotten to a point where I could get a hotel room. And I was sitting in the hotel room, and all of a sudden, it was like a concussion grenade went off. For the first time in my life, I had peace, and I just knew that everything was going to be okay. Within 15 minutes, I was grabbing my friend's cell phone. I called my mom. I said, hey, I'll go to that place with the teens in the 15 months, and, I don't even know what the name of it is, but I'll go. And a week later, I was in the doors of Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge was not an easy program. It confronted me on all the things that I was running away from my whole life. What happened to me in Teen Challenge is I really started to love myself as God, showed me his love. And then I started to really love people, and that's why I stayed. I graduate from the University of New Hampshire in May of 2019. I have applied to medical schools and hopefully will matriculate into medical school in 2019, and if not, certainly in 2020.
All right, how I sound? Can you hear me good? Thanks for having us out. My name is Mike. I'm 42. I've been at Teen Challenge almost 15 months. Update on Zach Brewster. He graduated the program, decided to stay on, do an internship, and then further staff. He was in the program for 7 years as a staff member. He did get accepted to medical school, started this past year, married a local pastor's daughter as well, so he is doing well, and the Lord has certainly blessed his life. It's truly a blessing to be here. Thanks for inviting us out. Anyone here who doesn't know, Teen Challenge is a 15-month drug and alcohol residential treatment center. We were founded in the late 50s to bring life-changing hope to addicts and their families, and that life-changing hope is certainly found in Jesus Christ. The first Teen Challenge was established in Brooklyn, New York by David Wilkerson, And because of his faithful obedience to the Lord, we are now the largest and most successful program of its kind. We come from a 24-bed facility in Manchester, New Hampshire. We have 10 locations in New England. We have over 230 in the United States and over 1,400 Teen Challenge locations worldwide. Today, through our testimonies, you'll meet some men who have been confronted by hope, who are walking in freedom and now living with a purpose. So I'd like to introduce to you my brothers, the men at Teen Challenge New Hampshire. Again. Yeah, I grew up in southern New Hampshire with a great family. Went to church, did well in school, was well-liked, lots of friends, wanted for nothing. And life was great, but for whatever reason, I developed severe anxiety near the end of eighth grade, manifesting itself physically, where I was unable to eat. They didn't know it was anxiety at the time. They thought it was a physical thing, and I was admitted to Dartmouth-Hitchcock in Lebanon for a home for very sick children. They didn't know what was going on after a lot of severe pain, physical tests, and you know, scary stuff I went through. They found out that it was nothing more than anxiety causing my esophagus to tense up. And they, you know, once that was known, I was able to resume life as normal. But for me, the seed was planted on what fear, panic, anxiety was. And, you know, I buried it down and buried my head in schoolwork, church, sports again. But again, near the end of high school, my senior year, it started coming back. Anxiety, fear of the future. Started getting sick, not being able to sleep, and you know, with my health being a concern, they pulled me from school at the end of my senior year, hoping I could get that under wraps, and I'd go back the next year to graduate, which I did, and I was headed to college, but in the interim of time when I stopped going to school, I started hanging out with other guys who weren't in school, and I found a lot of free time on my hands where I began to go to parties, cut loose, drink, and drinking. I found that alcohol was my answer all. It cured me of all the anxieties and fears that had troubled me for so long, and I ran with it. I was a good guy, did well in school, college. It took me quite a bit longer to finish than it should have, but the alcohol was always there. I used it as a crutch. A lot of accidents, injuries, arrests, stupid things, but it started pulling me down. And because of the relief it offered for that stress and anxiety I had, unfortunately I ran with drinking very heavily for almost 20 years. You know, I lost so many relationships, burnt so many bridges along the way, and as bad as things got, I always had the alcohol to run to, and I didn't care. I didn't want to deal with anything, so I just drank my way through life. Basically, I, you know, in that insanity of that lifestyle, I started picking up drug habits here and there, and I started smoking crystal meth. My health deteriorated rapidly, and I developed pneumonia and heart disease about 6 years ago. And I immediately quit drinking after I was in the hospital, intensive care for a month. I quit the drinking. But as crazy as it sounds, once I was released from the hospital, I continued with the crystal meth, you know, in the closet, being quiet about it. But I was full of shame and guilt about the whole thing. I just always thought I needed something to mask the fear and insecurity I had. It didn't take long, about a couple of years, I started drinking again. And I was so ashamed and full of guilt that I was living in a hotel room, had my own house, but I didn't want to bring it around my family. I was living in a hotel room by myself, miserable, isolating, just hoping to die, blaming God, blaming anyone I could, wondering why I was taking so long to just pass on, and it didn't happen. For me, rescue came in the form of the police department kicking my door down. I got myself in some trouble. They arrested me, brought me to the police station. You know, I was in nothing but boxer shorts when they came through the door that morning with the guns and dogs and all that great stuff. They brought me to the Manchester Police Department, and I was released shortly after on bail, and they released me in the bright sunny morning with nothing but my boxer shorts on and no phone, no wallet, completely broken, miserable. And add to that, my father had started the task force of the drug unit in Manchester Police Department. He has since retired, but I didn't know where to go, so I walked all the way to his house. I was humiliated. You know, I was so hungover and miserable and sick and shaking. He was still asleep when I got there, drinking from his garden hose in the back, just trying to help with the hangover. Just crying, broken, throwing things out his window. He finally woke up, and I thought either he was going to kill me or tell me, just get lost. But, you know, being a great father, a man of God, he put his hand on my shoulder, had me come in the house and said, Mike, listen, you just need God back in your life. And I knew without a doubt he was right. I just needed someone to say it to me. And, you know, a few days later, my sister texted me the number to Teen Challenge. And I didn't procrastinate, called immediately, and a man named Grant, the admissions coordinator, answered the phone. And I was broken. I just told him everything that had gone on, and he told me his story as well. And I knew by the way he told it that he had gone through the program as well. He was now in admissions for 5 years. And I just felt the sincerity in his voice, and something was drawing me to that. 15 months was a big commitment, but I said, what the heck, you know, nothing else has worked. I tried, went in a few days later, and the brothers began praying for me immediately upon entry, and I knew right away I was in the right place, and I was ready to completely change my life. It was shortly thereafter that I gave my life to God during a Bible study, and ever since that, started getting revelation daily. You know, I opened the Bible. Before, it was just words on a page. That it was just coming alive to me, and it still does, and I look forward to reading it every day. I wish we weren't so busy. I'd get into it more, but, you know, many beautiful things have happened in my life since going through the program with Teen Challenge. As you heard Zach Booster say, it's not an easy program. It is very difficult. It's a commitment, and it's a commitment to God and to change your life. He will renew your mind through this program. They force you to confront all the things you run and hide from your whole life. As much as, you know, I can be a good actor sometimes, and I've tried to cover it up, but it bubbles right up to the surface at Teen Challenge. You're going to take it head on. You're going to use the Lord and Scripture to get through it, and you're going to move on with your life, and it's no longer, you know, a chain. Those are broken at Teen Challenge. Relationships with my family have been completely restored. My wife is overjoyed to talk to me on the phone. My parents, I can't get them off the phone when it's time to get off, and they want to keep talking to me. You know, it's great to know finally I'm bringing, you know, happiness and joy into their lives instead of pain, misery, and shame. What else? You know, I got a whole new family, another family, these brothers here at Teen Challenge. They literally will do anything for you. We do that for each other. We sit there, we do each other's laundry, we clean up after each other, we share the burdens, we cry on each other's shoulders, we lift each other up. You talk guys down off a cliff when they're really ready to leave and they want to give up. It doesn't happen because of brothers like this here in this program. And because of Teen Challenge, my life, I am a changed life. You read about changed lives, I am that changed life. And, you know, I'm just really looking to continued growth through the remainder of the program and onward, and sharing every single thing that I've learned in this program with my family and loved ones. So thanks for listening.
Thank you, Mick. My name is Aaron. I'm 48 years old. I've been in Teen Challenge about 4 months. This is my second time in. I came in also in 2018. My addiction started out with a couple injuries I had when I was 20 years old. I fell down a manhole, broke my ankle, shattered 3 vertebrae in my spine, and crushed some organs on the left side of my body. Doctors told me I'd probably never walk again. That started the painkillers, and they gave me quite readily, and probably more than I ever needed. But a year later, still limping, still injured, I was working underneath a buddy's car. It came off the jack, landed on my skull. My skull fractured from ear to ear, and my skull separated almost a full inch. Was in a coma for about 12 days. The opiate addiction continued for several years after that. I managed to get off the painkillers. But unfortunately, I started hopping addictions. I started gambling, lost a lot of money gambling, and it led to a lot of self-destructive behavior. I've totaled a lot of cars. More than 25 cars have been totaled. Put one over a bridge. One I crashed into a telephone pole at over 100 miles an hour. Crashed one into a guardrail, and one ended up inside a house. I walked away from all those accidents uninjured by the grace of God. But that led to an alcohol addiction that lasted for about 15 years. During that time, I got married, had 4 kids. Alcohol tapered off when I got married, but, well, marriage isn't always a bed of roses. So through the difficulties of marriage, I started picking up the bottle again quite heavily. My wife was tired of it. She asked me to leave. I left because I didn't want being drunk around my kids. But being alone and on my own, the alcohol dependency continued. At one point, I was consuming over a gallon of vodka a day, every day for over a year. It took almost, towards the end, it took about 10 to 12 shots of vodka to get behind the wheel of a car and drive to work. Yeah, unfortunately, I was that guy on the road that most people should never have on the road next to them. I was going to work like that. Work didn't know. 6 months later, I ended up in the hospital for a heart attack. Got out of the hospital, didn't even make it home before grabbing another bottle of vodka. 2 months later, I had another heart attack. Not wanting to deal with anything anymore, called my wife up from the hospital room. I said goodbye. This is the end. And a day later, I looked over, and some guy happened to be walking across by my hospital room door. He happened to be on the floor that he had detoxed on 10 years prior, and he just happened to pop his head inside the door. He said, I've got a place for you when you get out. He was the admissions coordinator at Teen Challenge, Manchester, Grant. And not wanting any help, not wanting to do anything, and not hearing anything about Teen Challenge before, I left that hospital and started drinking again and woke up the following morning with my best friend banging on my house door saying, you're coming with me. Well, by the time I got to the hospital, I was seizing, shaking. I couldn't support my own weight, and I was walking with a walker. I was denied admission the first time. Grant said, if you can get off the walker and make it up the 5 steps into Teen Challenge, we can help you. But he took me to his house. 24 hours later, I made it up those 5 steps. I got into Teen Challenge. It's the best decision I ever made. I was there for 12 months. Brothers poured into me. I got my life back on track. My marriage got back on track. My kids started knowing me sober again. Through Teen Challenge, we were blessed. We get to experience a lot of miracles while we're in there. And I remember one of the ones I was in Teen Challenge, we go through random drug tests. And during one of the drug tests, I took it, but there was blood. One of my kidneys had a tumor. Doctors determined it was cancerous. I left the doctor, came back to Teen Challenge, had brothers pray over me and pour into me. Doctors went back in to remove the tumor. The tumor was gone. It just disappeared. By the end of that 12 months, though, pride had set in, arrogance had set in. I wanted money, I wanted my car, I wanted my wife back, I wanted my kids under my roof, and so I left early. Biggest mistake I made. I was okay for about 8 months, but I wanted to be like those normal people. I had the car, had my wife back. One day on my way home from work, I was like, maybe I can have one more drink. Within 6 months, I found myself in another state, in a hotel room, a Bible next to me that I hadn't picked up in 4 weeks, and an empty fifth of vodka again next to me. I look over, and my right hand was just barely starting to shake. I called Grant back. I said, I'm coming back. I've been in Teen Challenge now the second time, 4.5 months. I'm clean, I'm sober, I'm ready for round two, and I'm thankful that God has a plan for me. Let's see what he's got to do for me this time. Thank you.
It's nice. I don't know about you. I learned a few things this morning. One, I heard Harley giveaway, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Harley giveaway. Two, I also learned you can gift wrap a dog. Did you catch that in the gift wrapping slide? Okay, was it? It wasn't real, right?
No, that was a unicorn.
A unicorn. Okay, all right. Mythical. I did learn that. I also learned something else too, called a 5-minute message. So we're gonna practice that right now. I hope I don't get too good at this, otherwise I'm out of a job. God's a God of change, and I hope you heard that this morning. And he's a God of action. I mean, we spend so much time, and it's good. We should be good students of Scripture. Your program, students of Scripture, memorizing, students of Scripture. That's great. We forget the action part of our faith. One phrase, Aaron, you mentioned that stood out for me this morning. And he took me into his home. Grant took me into his home. See, our faith as Christians is action-based. It's knowledge-based. We need that. It's spirit change. We need that. It's action-based. It's putting our faith into action, putting our faith on the ground in tangible ways that makes a difference in changing somebody else's life. So that's what God did for us in Christ. We just came out of Easter season. God putting himself on the ground in a tangible way to change our lives for eternity. That's what he did in Christ. And that eternal change changes us every day. And I want to read just a couple passages this morning out of the book of Acts. As I was listening, this passage just kept coming back to me over and over again. Acts chapter 3. This is the new start. This is God doing something new. Okay? Because God's not stagnant. Here he is doing something new. One day, Peter and John, Pentecost has happened, Christ has ascended, this Holy Spirit has come. God is doing something new. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. So they're going to church. They're going to worship. They're on their way to worship. At 3 p.m, we won't be here that long. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put there every day to beg. In the front of the house of God, to beg. Friends, family, we don't know. From those going to the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter. Now, in those days, you wanted to make sure you got people going into worship, because that's when they had money in their pockets. Because theoretically, they left it all at worship. They had nothing to give on the way out. So if you were a beggar, you wanted to make sure you got people on their way in, so they may still had a few loose shekels, a few loose coins to give you. He saw Peter and John about to enter. He asked them for money. Peter looking straight at him, as did John. Now, all you guys had somebody look at you. You had a problem in your life. We all have problems in our life. And a lot of times when we see somebody with a problem in their life, our tendency is to want to not see them. The unseen people, the unseen problems. We overlook them. We look by them. We walk by them. We don't answer the text. We don't answer the phone. We don't answer the voicemail. We drive by them. We put our hands up when we see them on the streets. We don't see them. He looked at them. Straight at him. As did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you." Say that. I have something to give. No, say it like you believe it. I have something to give. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have something to give. It's truth. It's a part of who you are. It's a part of our DNA now as followers of Jesus. I have something to give. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he touched him, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, he began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit at begging at the temple gate, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. See, our faith is something we need to know, we need to understand, we need to comprehend, we need to be able to chew on it and make sure that it makes sense, but then it is a transformation that God makes to us in our spirit. But it is then something that we practice. I have something to give, and you have something to give. You guys, you have something to give, and you know that. And God calls us to take what we have to give and put it into practice in a tangible way so that it changes somebody else's life. And you're doing that now. You're changing somebody else's life. You're just not, "Hey, God, you changed me. I'm no longer who I used to be. I'm good. Thanks a lot." And I walk. You're changing somebody else's life. You have something to give, and you're putting it into practice to change somebody else's life. God has given every single follower of Jesus Christ something to give in the name of Jesus Christ to change their life, to make a difference. So that person then becomes somebody who is walking around, jumping and praising God, and now going to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of creation. See, that's the testimony that God gives to us and the power that God gives to us through Jesus Christ. And we're going to be talking more about that over the next few weeks. We started looking at the First Peter and how God took Peter and changed him so that now Peter had something to give. And in doing so, now created a legacy called the church, which is what we're all recipients of. So as we leave here this morning, I want us to leave here with the understanding, one is God is in the business of change. He is not stagnant. He has changed you, one, for eternity, two, in everyday life, so that our lives can reflect Christ. And he has now given us something that we can give to others in the name of Jesus, which is power and authority and transformation and eternity especially, so that their lives become changed. If we only believe that Christianity is something for us to study and to understand and comprehend and be able to recite back at people, we have missed the story. We need that. We need that to be able to understand our faith, explain our faith. But God has given us something to give that changes somebody's life. And there is somebody that God wants you to change with your story, with your Jesus. Who is it? Because chances are you may already know. Chances are I already know. Are we going to reach out our hands to that person? Are we going to look them in the face and say, what I have, I give you, and I give you Christ, so that your life is changed? And if we walked away with that this morning, then we walked away with a lot. And even more so, if we then begin to put it into practice as soon as we leave this place with whoever we bump into. So God has given you and me something to give. May we do so with integrity, with courage, with boldness, with the Spirit leading us this week, but with intentionality and purpose. Because that person that you change through the power of Christ, God will use to change somebody else. And the story in God's kingdom goes on. So I'm going to pray for us this morning. Thank you guys for being here, for being a witness, for challenging us. Stop by their table. Buy a cutting board. Even if you don't need one, buy a cutting board. Give it away to somebody in Hannaford as you go to Hannaford. Hey, here's something I got you. I can give this to you. Do something with it. But God's given us something to give. Let's make sure that we give it away. Let's pray. We may not have silver and gold, although we do, God. We have so much more than so many other people throughout the world. We've given us, you have blessed us with so much. But more than that, you have given us Christ. You have given us transformation. You have given us eternity. You have given us eternal life. You have given us forgiveness of sins. You have given us a new identity. You have given us so much, God. Help us to give it away. With intentionality, with courage, with boldness, with humility, and with purpose, God. Knowing that you are the God who is in the business of change. You change us. And you enable us to help change others through the power of your Spirit. So may we do so this week. And I thank you for the stories that you have placed within our lives, written into each of our lives, of how you have changed us to draw us closer to Christ. So Lord, for all this, we give you thanks and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.